Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, there's a party going on before the game and during our show, and our host Ben Higgins is right in the middle of it.
We got a good whole crowd in here today, so it's a good one here.
And our other host, Kurt Bavacqua, just feels lucky to be here on such a festive day.
Rather be lucky than good.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Ben Higgins and Kurt Bavacqua.
I know we get to say this a lot, Kurt, but it is another absolutely spectacular day for baseball in America's finest city. Maybe one of the best we've had all season. Friday night, the Miami Marlins in town, and it is time for Padres Social Hour. We are live from the AMR studios inside the Western Metal Supply Company. Padres Social Hour presented by United along with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Ben Higgins in for Jesse Agler today. Padres trying to snap a three-game skid after a 4-0 loss to the Marlins in the series opener yesterday. And now they're officially 1 week away from the trading deadline. You're starting to get the sense that that run we were hoping to see happen is not materializing for the Padres, unfortunately.
Well, it still might happen, but it's not going to be with the same players.
There you go. There you go. This is really, it's too late to get back to anywhere where you can say for sure the Padres are going to make a second half run. We need to beef up the team. So now I'm sure AJ Preller is up in his office. He is on the phone. He is looking ahead, not just for the final 2 months of the season, but he's going to be looking ahead toward next year and probably the year after that and trying to figure out ways to make this team better and competitive into the future, which is what, you know, a GM should be doing if your team is, what, 44 and 52 at this time of the season.
I think A.J. Preller, I have a funny suspicion that he knew exactly what he was doing over the winter when he put this team together. Acquiring Justin Upton, trading for Sean Kelly, knowing that Will Venable is in a free agent year, and knowing that if you get into the scenario that this is ball club is in right now, that these guys that are guys that you can trade away and get value back for them.
All right, one of the things I want to discuss this hour is what you think a winning Padres team next year is going to look like. What pieces do they need to add? What holes do they need to fill? I'll get your thoughts. We'll get the fans' thoughts out there. You can always participate in this interactive show by using the hashtag PadresSH on Twitter. We'll read your tweets as we go along. But there's still some good pieces. Now, maybe they'll be traded away. Maybe they won't. But Tyson Ross yesterday, to me, in the first five innings, about as dominant as we see Tyson Ross. He did not, Kurt, until the last out in the fifth inning, he did not allow a ball to leave the infield. Everything was either a strikeout, a ground ball out, or a dribbled infield single through the first five innings. That tells me that he's got, as we know, one of the nastiest pitches in baseball in that slider.
That slider is so dominating, and it would be so scary if he had another pitch that he threw with it. And I'll tell you what that pitch is later in the show.
Okay, that's fine. We can do that. But his name has been brought up in some trade talks.
I
don't want to see Tyson Ross go anywhere. I think he is part of the next winning Padres team. I think that Will Myers, when he gets back and healthy, whether you put him in a corner outfield spot or at first base, part of the next winning Padres team. I think Matt Kemp certainly is going to be part of the next winning Padres team out in right field. So you got some pieces out there. And, you know, I like what I've seen from Austin Hedges so far. The bat isn't there yet. Certainly you're going to have to hit more than, you know, 155 if you're going to stick around the big leagues. But you've seen what he's done. Basically, he's been the personal catcher for Tyson Ross over these last, what, three or four starts. And you've seen what Tyson has done working with Austin Hedges. You've seen some of that incredible defensive ability that he has behind the plate to throw out runners, to frame pitches, to call a game. This guy is a major league catcher. He just got to get that bat to catch up. And we've seen a couple of home runs as well, so we know he's got some of the pop in there.
Well, that's going to take a little while for him. To be perfectly honest with you, I'd like to see him get about 400 or 500 more minor league at-bats before he comes up and they throw into an everyday role as a starting catcher here.
Well, that's not a bad call. He's still very young, and you've got time. And you've got Derek Norris, who I don't think is going anywhere as your everyday catcher. I think some people are afraid that Austin Hedges' ability, you know, maybe his development has been hampered by, you know, being on the bench too much, and he could be down in minor leagues. But I think a taste of the big league baseball is usually a good experience. You know, maybe not 2 years of sitting on the bench and not developing, but for a few months to come up and see what it's all about. And then if he does go back, if the Padres get Tim Fedorovich back, you know, sometime in these last couple of months of the season, and Austin Hedges goes back to the minor leagues, he's the kind of guy that I can see using that experience and saying, okay, now I know what I need to do to get back to that level, how I need to perform when I get there. I'm going to work on that, and when they call me up again, I'll be even more ready the next time.
Well, he certainly is going to know what he needs to work on, which is a good thing. I think he's been here too long sitting on the bench, to be perfectly honest. And that's just my personal opinion. I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but if Tim Fedorovich was here, Austin Hedges wouldn't be here. So that's the reason that Austin is here at the major league level, and that's certainly not to take anything away from his ability, because he is an outstanding young catcher. And I really think that he's going to hit at the major league level also. But I want to see him get some more experience at the AA and AAA level where he can really get some confidence and come up here and start banging the ball around.
All right, got some good news for today's game. Maybe a little bad news as well. Good news is that Justin Upton is back in the starting lineup. He's had that sore oblique chest muscle, whatever it is, that's kept him out the last few days. Came up as a pinch hitter yesterday, and Pat Murphy has him back in the cleanup role today. The bad news, and I was listening to you on the radio earlier as well, is it could very well be one of the last times we see Justin Upton playing here at Petco Park. They got this weekend series, and there's a good chance that by the time the Padres get back from their next road trip, Justin Upton not going to be a part of this team anymore if the Padres go and pull off those deadline deals.
Well, come on. I mean, let's face it. Are you going to let Justin Upton just walk away without getting anything in return except some compensatory pick, which we all would much rather have something that we could choose over that type of a comeback for him leaving and becoming a free agent? Or are you going to use him while he's hot? I mean, you've got something that people want right now. And there's a couple of other players on this ball team. And I'll tell you, there's a name that's not being thrown around a lot that pennant-contending clubs that are going to go into the offseason or the postseason with a chance to win. And that is a utility person. And Alexi Amarista might be a lot more valuable than the San Diego Padres think when it comes to teams calling and offering this guy as part of a deal, or a team might even call and say, I want just him.
I might say I want Yanhervis Solarte instead of Alexi Amarista, who can play second and third base and first base as well and has shown a little bit more of the bat this season. So another name that hasn't been talked about. You never know who's actually going to be discussed by these GMs and who catches their eyes. We may talk about Justin Upton and Andrew Cashner and some of the, you know, Will Venable, Ian Kennedy, until we're blue in the face. Mm-hmm. And then when the trades come down, it's three other guys who are actually involved in the deals, because, you know, you need both a seller and a buyer, you know, before the parties can come together. So there's a lot of discussion going on right now, and it is going to be interesting to see. But I think you're absolutely right about one thing, Kurt, and I think most, you know, good fans do realize that if you've got a free agent to be at the end of the season, they're going to leave regardless. Justin Upton is a free agent as soon as this season is over. Whether the Padres win 100 games, lose 100 games, or go 81-81, he can sign with whoever he wants. And it seems pretty clear that his agent, you know, wants him to test that free agent market and drive up the price. So if you're pretty sure at this point that you're not needing him over the final 2 months to make a playoff run, yeah, you go out and you get what you can for him, for Ian Kennedy, for Will Venable. And there's no rule that says you can't go and re-sign him as a free agent in the offseason. If you love him that much,
that's the best part about the deal, right?
Get
there.
Something now and then go after him as a free agent in the offseason if you really want to bring him back. It's San Diego's gorgeous. You've got that card you can always play if you want to bring a guy like that back. I don't think that's where the Padres are going, but why not trade him now? And then if you really loved him, you know, you can make a pitch for him in the offseason, because you were going to have to do that anyway if you wanted to keep him beyond this year. So that's why you're right. Any guy who's going to be a free agent, absolutely. See what you get for him right now, because once the year's over, you're pretty much either getting a draft pick or nothing at all for that guy, and he walks away.
Well, I think that anything that happens between now and the trading deadline will not be held against either party. I don't think Justin's going to look back and say, the Padres didn't treat me right. He knows the business of the game. He knows what the situation is. Now, if this ball club was only 4 or 5 games out of first place and they went and dealt him, he might have some hard feelings because he worked hard to get into that position, worked hard, and you could tell that these guys like one another. But I'm trying to figure out what's missing from this baseball team. You can't lose the games that they lost to the San Francisco Giants. You can't lose that game last night. And I don't know what it is. And the 6 games on the road trip to St. Louis and Pittsburgh, those are games that you're in. You got to figure out a win at least half of them.
All right, I've got some thoughts on that. Let's see what some of the people out on Twitter have to say about that as well. Use the hashtag PadresSH. What are the pieces that the Padres need to build that next winning team? Hopefully next year. If not next year, then the year after that. But where do they need to go? What kind of roster do you want to see moving forward? We'll talk about that. Plus, we got some hot trading deadline rumors today from Twitter that we'll pass along as well. That is coming up on Padres Social Hour on a Friday night. You can join the Padres, though, tomorrow for a post-game concert by Grammy Award-winning artist Nelly. The performance free to all fans with a ticket to tomorrow night's game against the Marlins at 5:40 p.m. Buy your tickets today at Padres.com. or at the box office. Kurt and Ben back with more of Padres Social Hour next on a Friday night.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. Game 2 of a 4-game series against the Miami Marlins. It is Friday, the 24th of July. Kurt Bevacqua, 1 week from today, is the 31st of July, which
I went right to the Twitter when you said the rumors, so I'm trying to find
out
what's happening.
We'll get them on for you here in a second.
Good.
But 1 week from today is baseball's non-waiver trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to explain that, what that means exactly to fans?
Not really.
Okay. I'll do my best then. It's the trading deadline, which means if you want to trade a player after July 31st, he's got to pass through waivers. And that means you may not be able to trade all the players you'd like to. It makes it a lot more complicated. So that's why you see so many deals go down this week in Major League Baseball. Teams want to add a piece or two if they make a pennant run, or if it doesn't look like they're going to the playoffs, they want to add some minor leaguers, some prospects for the future. That's what we get this week. So here are some of the hot rumors as we approach next Friday's trading deadline. And these are from Jason Stark from ESPN, all tweeted out earlier today. And the first one involves our San Diego Padres. He tweets, Padres listening on at least half of their staff, but they, quote, really want to move both James Shields and Andrew Cashner, other teams say. How do you react to at least the rumor that the Padres are actively shopping James Shields and Andrew Cashner in a trade?
I'm surprised about Shields, although it's a pretty big salary, but I'm wondering what their position is going to be if, in fact, he's part of a deal, what that says to the potential free agent market coming into San Diego and the interest they're going to have about establishing a home here, unless they're just not worried about it. That's the biggest thing for me. It's not necessarily trading James away or getting what you can for him and getting a good prospect back, because I'm sure he would bring a good prospect, because I tell you what, there's a lot of teams out there who can use a guy like Shields.
I have said all month long that I don't really want to see the Padres trade James Shields, because I see him as a part of that next winning team here in San Diego. And I think he's got a pretty good contract. Yeah, it's backloaded. They're going to have to pay more for James Shields moving forward, but we're talking about a guy who has gone out and done exactly what you expected of him. He pitches every fifth day. He goes deep into ball games. He's going to throw over 200 innings for you. Again, he keeps you in the ball games with a chance to win. He's put up, 8 victories so far this season. That is worth a little bit of money, and he's not getting Max Scherzer deal. He's not getting Clayton Kershaw money. Yeah, $75 million is a heck of a lot of money. But compared to what some of the other number one pitchers in baseball are getting right now, it's not a bad deal. I don't think the Padres need to be worried about getting rid of that contract. I'd love to see James Shields pitch here in San Diego for the next 4 years and fill out that entire
I would have liked him seen him pitch a couple more innings the other day.
96 pitches when they pulled him. I tweeted. I go, I don't know about this. I mean, you get a good bullpen, but that's four innings. You're asking a lot with a 1-0 lead, handing it over to a bullpen for four innings. And obviously that game kind of fell apart against the Giants. They ended up losing 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about Andrew Cashner. And remember, these Twitter rumors are just that.
Right.
They are rumors. And you've got the NFL draft in April, and you got the trading deadline in July for baseball. Liars, liars, liars. People are spreading false rumors all of the time to media members like Jason Stark. But the Andrew Cashner talk, to me, I think I can believe a little bit more. Andrew Cashner is an exciting player. He throws hard. You know, it's a guy that is going to attract a lot of attention from other teams, and he's got one more year before he can be a free agent after 2016. So you can get a little more value for a guy because he's still controlled. But are the Padres ready to commit a long-term deal to Andrew Cashner right now as well? Have they seen enough from him to say, okay, we're not trading you. We're going to give you a 3-year deal. I don't think so. So this might be the time, if you can find a buyer, that you would talk about Andrew Cashner because you get max value and you set yourself up for the future when you're not ready to make a decision on the next few years for Cashner. What do you say about that?
I think there's much more legitimacy to the Cashner talk as there is to the Shields talk. And I agree with you 100%. That's the guy you go out and try to get the biggest boom with. You go out and you offer him to a team or a team that needs some pitching. And I think Andrew's going to like it also because he's going to be put on a contender. I think he wants to be on a team that's contending for a playoff. I think they all lick their lips when it comes to that stuff because that's what you play the game for. And whenever you trade a player to a pennant contending team, you're really doing them a favor. I mean, you're throwing them into the thick of things. And right now this club's not there. As much as we all like to see them there, they're not there. And are they going to be there this year? I don't know. It remains to be seen.
Also, it matters who else is available on the starting pitching market. So another tweet from Jason Stark. Here's one executive on Cole Hamels of the Phillies start tomorrow. He's pitched in playoffs and the World Series, but for that front office, this may be the biggest start he's ever had. Is Cole Hamels definitely going to be traded here this week? If he pitches well tomorrow, is he gone? And is he more valuable down the stretch to a team than a guy like Andrew Cashner or even James Shields?
I don't think he's more valuable. I think that he has a little more experience, certainly Cashner, than Cashner, but not Shields. But will a team want to assume the amount of money that Cole Hamels is going to cost?
Big contract, absolutely
so
right.
So that's the big deal that's revolving around the Philadelphia Phillies front office right now and Ruben Amaro's decision on what he has to do with Cole Hamels, or not has to do, but what he can do with him.
And then what if you need a closer? If your team is kind of in need of a closer, Stark had one more tweet. He said, one AL exec's description of the Reds' price tag on Aroldis Chapman, exorbitant. Other clubs not sure the owner wants to move him. Okay, well, that could mean something for the Padres as well because Craig Kimbrel has pitched great, lights out the last few weeks, couple of months. He might be someone that a team would overpay for in a pennant race that needs bullpen help. You might be able to, package him in a really impactful deal for the Padres right now.
And I'm sure you could, and I'm sure there are some teams that would really be interested in a guy like Craig Kimbrel. If you think a Sean Kelly is ready to fall into that role, or maybe a Brandon Morrow, I mean, you read the paper this morning, and it says that there's conversation that Brandon Morrow could be offered or thrown into a starting position next year, and he's all for it. Now, whether that's rumor or not remains to be seen. And then we've got Josh Johnson coming back. If, in fact, he returns from Tommy John surgery, he could be a guy that could be put into that rotation and make another pitcher expendable.
All right, those are the hot rumors right now. Trading deadline 1 week away. Getting some good tweets on what the next winning Padres team looks like. Blooper, let's hold off. Let's get to them in our next segment because I want to tell everyone that Petco is your hometown pet retailer. Petco proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Okay, we're going to read a bunch of tweets coming in on the next winning Padres team when we come back. Kurt Bevacqua, Ben Higgins, Padres Social Hour, Padres and Marlins coming up at 7:10.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We are live in the AMR studios, and one of the toughest things about filling in for Jesse Agler on Padres Social Hour is trying to keep up with his sock game. So I've gone with the avocado.
You got sock
today.
Pressure it's, when yeah, you do so a show, got, isn't that something?
We got a good. We can make sock-a-mole later after the show.
God,
with my
you
sock.
Just set everybody up for that. That is so bad.
So, you know, hey, like I said, early in the season, I got called out for boring socks. And my kids took care of me on Father's Day. Now I got a whole drawer.
They did good. Now you're showing them off.
I can just show them all off every time I come on to Padres Social Hour.
Which one of the kids did the sock-a-mole joke?
I just got a whole – they were just in a big box, and I've got – I got different ones, and you'll just see them every time I come in and fill in. We'll have a new piece of sock equipment.
There you go.
Out for the show. Okay, let's get to our topic, and that is, what does the next winning Padres team look like? What holes do they need to fill? What additions do they need to make? Use the hashtag PadresSH.
I can't wait to see this.
All right, first tweet comes in from Braden. Tweets in, need a middle infielder and need to get a better bullpen around Mauer and Kimbrel. Hashtag Padres SH. I definitely think middle infield has to be addressed. I think you need a shortstop, an everyday shortstop. What's gone on this season, Kurt, you know, a little Clint Barmus, a little Lexi Amarista. We tried Will Middlebrooks there a few days. You just haven't gotten the kind of production or defense that you want to see out of that position. Such a key spot on a Major League Baseball diamond.
It is, and I think we went into the season knowing what the situation was going to be. We certainly weren't expecting Clint Barmus to come in and do as well as he has. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm surprised he hasn't had more of a chance to play. I mean, I think he's put up the numbers where you throw Clint Barmus out there and leave him for a few games until he plays his way out of the lineup.
Yeah, Pat Murphy kind of said about a week and a half ago that Clint Barmus is kind of going to be the everyday guy, and I think he's only started once since then. He's in the lineup tonight, so we will see Clint Barmus. And I think defensively he's been your best shortstop as well, but, you know, he's a guy that's not, you know, signed for the long term. So you're going to need a solution one way or another next season. So I agree with Braden that a shortstop is a priority in the offseason. They don't just grow on trees, so that's the trick. But A.J. Preller, you know, he's got to earn his money by finding a shortstop. In the offseason.
And now my offseason? Why wait until the offseason?
Or now. You can find him now.
Now
absolutely.
Might be the time to get your shortstop.
All right. Here's James Kenyon who tweeted, I want to add anybody that hits with RISP, runners in scoring position, particularly with two outs, regardless of position. No shutouts! Exclamation point. Yeah, yesterday was the 14th shutout of the year for the San Diego Padres. You know, Kurt, I was looking at the stats last night. The Padres, if they just score at least one run, if they get on the scoreboard, they're 44-38. That's not too bad. They just have to get on the scoreboard. Patrick Kurish from the Padres Media Relations Department added this one for me today. When the Padres score just two runs in a game, I mean, that's two runs. You got nine innings to score two runs. They're 43-28, 15 games above .500. That tells me if you could have just developed a little more consistency, you might be a playoff team right now or contending for a playoff spot. 15 games above .500 with a measly two runs.
The thing that I have noticed with this ball club is how they approach hitting when they're behind and how they approach it when they're tied or ahead. And believe it or not, I've seen a difference. When they're a little behind, it seems like we have – four, five, six guys in the lineup that try to do a little bit too much, and they're rolling over on the ball. When we're right level in a game or maybe a run or two ahead, they have a tendency to go right center, left center, and they're much better hitters that way. So Yonder Alonso is a great hitter. Lexi Amarista is a good hitter. When they try to use the whole field, when they try to roll over on the ball and try to hit the ball out of the ballpark, they take something away from themselves. Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell have been working with these guys on that particular thing, not just those two, but the whole team for the whole year. but it's what the player brings to the plate and what the result is there that really matters.
Here's what my winning Padres team, as soon as next season, I think can look like, at least lineup-wise. You got Matt Kemp in right, Will Myers either in left field, or if you want to add a bat that way, you could move him over to first base, or you keep Yonder Alonso there. I think you can get a bye with Jed Jerko. We've seen some good stuff out of him in the second half at second base, and even Yanhervis Solarte, or if Will Middlebrook starts to hit at third. What you can have Derek Norris behind the plate. What you need, what we talked about, a shortstop, and you need a center fielder who can play defense out on this expanse of Petco Park and maybe even be your leadoff hitter as well. Get on base. If you had a guy like that, increase the on-base percentage of the lineup, add to the defense up the middle at shortstop and center field, I think it would make worlds of difference for this team, either the last 2 months of the season or next season, depending on when these moves were made.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you on something like that. And what are they going to do with the guys that are on the team now? This ball club is going to have Melvin Upton on it for the next couple of years, unless they can find somebody that's going to take him in a trade, which is doubtful.
Hey, if Melvin Upton wants to rise to the occasion and be a leadoff hitter, be a guy who can get on base, 35% of the time, play good defense out there, I'm fine by that. If he's not, if he's going to hit 200, if it's not going to work, then either he's a fourth outfielder or you have to cut your losses and you just eat that contract. I mean, that's you brought him on. That was the risk when you added him on in that Kimbrel deal to get Craig Kimbrel at the start of the season.
I've seen some good things from him when he's been in the lineup, with his willingness to sacrifice himself, willing to try to bunt to get on base. And if he can just cut down on his swing a little bit, I think we'd see a lot of more productivity out of him than we have in the past so far. I think the thing that hurt him those couple of years that he was in the American League hitting the ball out of the ballpark, I think that really hurt him.
All right, Trevor Jordan on Twitter actually put a couple of names to my holes, which I thought was kind of interesting. He tweeted at me at Padres SH, I think we need to try for Yurickson Profar and a leadoff hitter like Charlie Blackmon. That would, both of those guys would have the potential to fill the shortstop center field hole. Now, are they available? Can you bring them in? I don't know. That's A.J. Preller's job and why he makes the big money as general manager. But I like Trevor's thinking that he's at least putting some names to the holes out there that the Padres
have. I don't think Charlie Blackmon would okay a trade to San Diego. He hits 500 against the team. So that wouldn't be a good deal for him. But he is the type of player certainly that this ball club could use. I like Charlie Blackmon a lot.
All right, send in more of your tweets. Use the hashtag PadresSH. I want to talk a little bit about Hall of Fame weekend. We know we've got Dick Enberg there going into the Hall representing the Padres. Also a pretty darn good class of pitchers who are in Cooperstown as well. I want to get your thoughts on that in just a moment. First, snap some awesome selfies with your favorite Padres players. Compadres Kid Photo Day is this Sunday, July 26th. Photo Day begins at 11 a.m. at the Park at the Park with the first pitch at 1:10 p.m. as the Padres face the Marlins. Get tickets today at Padres.com. Kurt and Ben back with more Padres Social Hour in a minute.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. It is Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown. And Kurt, I have really enjoyed following Dick Enberg on Twitter. Last night he arrived and started tweeting out pictures, thoughts about being there. And he's really, as he should, he is absolutely savoring what is going to be maybe the most special weekend you could possibly have as a sports broadcaster, being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame as the Ford C. Frick Award winner. So wanted to pass my congratulations along to Dick, and I hope he enjoys the weekend. And Blooper tells me he's actually going to be on that couch when he gets back to share his entire experience from the Hall of Fame weekend next week. So that'll be a lot of fun.
It's got to be a special time for Dick. And anybody that gets elected into Cooperstown in Baseball's Hall of Fame, it's an outstanding place. I mean, I've been there. I've been fortunate enough to have played in the Hall of Fame game for a few years with teams that I was playing on. I don't know how – I mean, it was amazing. I've talked to guys that never in their whole career did they have to go play – not have to, but was their team participating in the Hall of Fame game. I was with three clubs, three different teams that participated in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how I got so lucky, because I don't know if I ever would have got there.
It's not on the way to anywhere.
That's for sure. It's certainly out of the way. And when you're a player and you're on the road and you have to go there and play, you hear some complaining. You hear some guys that aren't real happy about it. But you know what? When I think it's all said and done, I think the guys look back at it and they go, boy, I'm glad we had an opportunity to do that.
Well, there's always great stories coming out of Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown. And this is one that a couple of people sent me. Actually, Nikki pointed it out before the show, and then Gavin just sent it to me on Twitter as well. So I wanted to read it. It's just a quick one from Mike Oz at Big League Stew. But he writes, there's a fantastic story about why Tony Gwynn wanted to make his own beer. You remember that came out about a year ago, and it goes like this. Every year at the Hall of Fame mixer in Cooperstown, Tom Seaver would bring his own wine. But as the tale goes, he wouldn't share it with Gwynn or any other hitter who did well against him, for that matter. Sounds kind of petty, Tom, but okay. So Gwynn figured he needed a drink of his own to share with the hitters. He had a meeting with San Diego's Alesmith Brewing Company, began to formulate a beer. Alesmith and Gwynn went back and forth, finding the right mix of flavors. Like his swing, Gwynn wanted the beer to be perfect. The end result, San Diego 394 Pale Ale, a name with a nod to when Gwynn hit 394 in the strike-shortened season in 1994. The beer was released last June. Gwynn died 10 days later, losing his battle with cancer, so he never got to bring his beer to Cooperstown. This weekend, that changes. Even though Gwynn himself won't be there, we're told the 394 Pale Ale is going to the Hall of Fame. Alicia Gwynn, Tony's wife, taking the beer to the induction ceremony on Tony's behalf and giving it to the hitters. And she's also, in a pretty fantastic way, bringing a piece of her husband back to Cooperstown. And I sure hope she doesn't give any to Tom Seaver.
That's funny, because I just had somebody over to my house the other night with 394 Pale Ale. And I didn't even know the whole story about that.
You know, when the beer came out, I went and did an interview with Peter Zion from Alesmith and got the story, and that's how it went. I mean, Tony tasted, and they kept bringing him different batches. He wanted to get it just right, something that he liked that everyone was going to enjoy, and it's been a real hit. So, you know, one more hit for Tony still, even now.
What's new?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
What's new?
Another hit.
So here, you know, it's a huge Hall of Fame weekend this year.
It is.
You've got a great class, including Craig Biggio. We mentioned Dick Enberg, but three pitchers going in at once. And this doesn't happen very often. So I want to put you on the Cholula hot seat right now, Kurt, and ask you the question of the three pitchers going in to the Hall of Fame this weekend, John Smoltz, Randy Johnson, and Pedro Martinez, which of the three was the best pitcher?
Well, I'm one for – I hit 1,000 against Randy Johnson, so it's not him.
Wow. One for one?
One for one. That was it.
Was he still on the Expos
when you faced him? That's really tough. No. He was with Seattle.
Seattle, okay.
Yeah. That's really tough.
Isn't that a tough – why it's the Cholula hot seat and not the Cholula lukewarm seat. We make it tough.
I think for a career, it was Randy Johnson. I think for a specific year, it was Pedro Martinez.
That's a good answer. Pedro had a couple of the most dominant, and one of the most dominant seasons in baseball history. But I just the intimidation factor of Randy Johnson, especially against a left-handed hitter. Will you ever forget that All-Star game when John Kruk went up and the first pitch went over his head to the backstop?
No, that was pretty funny.
And he looked like, after that, he looked like the little league hitter on your first day, stepping in the bucket and wanted nothing to do with Randy Johnson. That was so funny. And a guy throwing, you know, 6'11", almost 7 feet tall, left-handed with that across his body. I mean, it must have been the most terrifying thing to face Randy Johnson as a hitter.
No, I wouldn't want any part of it, especially from the left side. I know I faced J.R. Richards when he was in his prime, but he didn't come as far down as Randy Johnson did. JR was a little more overhand, and even as dominating and terrifying as he was, I would have rather faced him than Randy Johnson from the left side.
Good answer from the Cholula hot seat, Kirk. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Randy Johnson got the best of the Padres on many occasions with the Arizona Diamondbacks especially. He gave the Padres trouble over and over and over again. But the one thing I like in the biggest game when it really counted, when the Padres faced him and he was on the Astros for that short amount of time during the 1998 playoffs in the divisional round, Padres got the best of Randy Johnson in that series. And that's all that really matters, right?
You're right. I mean, that's all you remember.
Exactly.
I tell you what, there's a guy we're leaving out of this discussion that doesn't deserve to be left out, and that's John Smoltz. I mean, this guy was one heck of a pitcher for a long period of time.
A closer and then a starter.
And there's nobody that's more competitive in anything than John Smoltz.
You played some of the celebrity golf and stuff with him, haven't you?
He wants to win at anything that he plays in. If he's playing his kids in horseshoes, he's going to find a way to win. That's just the kind of guy he is. It's built into him, and I think that's why I like him so much.
All right, we've told you that Justin Upton is back in the Padres lineup. It's a different-looking lineup for Pat Murphy. We will get to that in just a moment. First, though, triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crown. Get the starting lineup for you next. Padres Social Hour on a Friday night. Kurt Pivacqua and Ben Higgins back in a moment.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Just having a grand old time in the AMR studios here inside the Western Metal Supply Company, down right in the corner inside the Padres store. And want to thank everyone who stopped by today to catch Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studios. In fact, we're getting some selfies taken as well with us in the background. That's Tyler. He's been here the whole show. Thanks for stopping by, Tyler. Really appreciate that you've been here. So wanted to get your Padres Social Hour selfie on. That's a good
shot.
Cool,
yeah.
You're kind of cut off a little bit.
We have a Matt Kemp sign.
We've got the Matt. Yeah, the Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp, of course, is not here today, but we always welcome him.
Sure.
If he wants to come back. Jesse said to keep that sign up all weekend. So
that's good.
It's here for the rest of the homestand, and then it can, I guess.
I think Jesse
disappear.
Fell in love with Matt Kemp when he came on the show.
It's easy to fall in love with Matt Kemp. I
it
think
is.
It's the eyes. The
it's the reason my
smoldering.
Wife watches baseball. Shame.
Hey, as long as she's watching, that's all that matters.
Yes. Yeah, and every time he's not hitting, she leaves.
Well, she's been watching a lot lately because
that's true.
He's been hitting. And he is back in the Padres starting lineup today, just where you'd expect to find him. But let's take a look at the rest of our United Airlines starting lineup. I told you Justin Upton was back, but look at who's batting leadoff today for the San Diego Padres. Your utility trade candidate, Alexi Amarista, is going to get a shot back at the start of the lineup. You got Yonder Alonso, Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, Brett Wallace at third base today, starting and batting fifth for the San Diego Padres. And then Norris, Melvin Upton, Clint Barmas back at short, and Andrew Cashner. I guarantee you we have not seen this starting lineup yet for the San Diego Padres this season.
No, this starting lineup has not been up there. I think we just got hit with a softball.
Was that home run derby
the
they're doing out there?
The boys are out there. So if you hear screaming and you hear a big bang in the background, you're going to know what it is. Those guys are hitting balls. I tell you what, there was a ball hit last year on top of the Western Metal building from one of these guys.
They do,
that's
yes.
Unbelievable.
And they were very smart because I believe they used the glass that doesn't break when they built these things, right?
That's exactly right.
I hope
right.
so.
But back to the lineup. We were so rudely interrupted.
No, I mean, it's an interesting lineup.
No, it's certainly different. And if I'm sure there's a lot of comments that are being made about it right now.
Well, first of all, Alexi Amarista, you go, does he get on base enough to justify a leadoff spot? But I saw Bill Center, who often sits on that couch, tweeted that Alexi Amarista is 5-for-11 with a home run and two walks in his career against Dan Heron, who is the starting pitcher for the Miami Marlins today. So maybe it's just a one-day thing where you see he's had some success. Give him a chance up there, and he had a couple of hits yesterday as well.
He did.
So,
if you got to go to those stats and you got to look at them. I mean, if Jed Jerko's 0-for-12 against the guy or 1-for-12 and Alexi's 5-for-11, what are you going to do? You're going to play Alexi. I mean, I would too if I'm the manager. And those are the types of things that the coaches and the manager have meetings about earlier in the day, and they decide who's going to be in lineups.
Yeah. I mean, not the general manager. You've got Josh Stein in the front office who gets involved in a lot of those stats as well. So it's important. Now, Pat Murphy is the interim general manager. One of the interim manager, you know, he's changed the lineup a lot. And, you know, whether you like that or not, he certainly has shown a willing to go with the hot hand as opposed to a set lineup. He doesn't seem to put a lot of stock in, hey, this guy's comfortable in the seventh hole, so I'm just going to keep him there. He doesn't seem to hold a lot of stock in that. I don't necessarily hold a lot of it, stock of it in either. If you can bat sixth, you can bat seventh. If you can bat third, you can bat second, you can bat fourth. It really shouldn't make much of a difference, at least in my mind, but you're the one who played the game, so maybe you have a different opinion.
No, when you put a player in different spots in the lineup, they acquire that lineup spot as to what they try to do during the course of the game. There's guys that can handle hitting fourth and fifth in a lineup, and there's guys that shouldn't be hitting fourth and fifth because they try to do too much. If a guy gets – you're not going to put a prototypical fifth place or sixth place hitter with some power into the leadoff spot unless you're trying to give him a lot more ABs, which I think was done earlier in the year with Matt Kemp, and tried to get him out of the little funk that he was in, which I think it helped him. But this is nothing new in San Diego with lineup changes. It's been done for the last couple of years. So I don't think it should surprise anybody at all.
Starting lineup brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. To me, Kurt, 2 through 7 are basically the same. Certainly there's some situations where you might bunt over, you know, a leadoff hitter if you got on, if you were number two. Now, if you're the leadoff hitter, there's a couple of things, especially in the National League, you need to know. Your pitcher makes the second out. You want to take a little extra time walking to home plate, give him a little chance to rest, get himself collected for the next inning. You don't want to just swing at the first pitch and then have to get right back out on the field. The eight hitter, you have to know that the pitcher's behind you, and you may be pitched around a little bit more. You have to have a little more discipline and not swing at those strike, you know, balls out of the strike zone, knowing that, hey, if there's an open base at first, I'm probably not going to see much good to hit in this at-bat because they know they can probably get the pitcher behind me. Second through seventh, though, just get up and, you know, hit the ball. It doesn't matter where you are, right?
Based on the stats that you said earlier in the telecast about what the Padres' record is when they score one run.
44-38.
What they score two runs.
43-28.
I'm figuring out a way to manufacture a couple
get
of
runs. Get a run or two across.
I'm figuring out a way. I'm going to get it done. If I'm the manager of this baseball team, whether it's bunting, hitting, running, I'm figuring out a way to get a run or two. My chances.
You ready for a little head-to-head with Blooper?
Oh, always.
All right, we'll get to that when we come back. First, come to Petco Park for Nickelodeon Day at Kids Fest on Sunday, July 26th. Oh, my kids are going to want to come for this one. Meet SpongeBob and Patrick from SpongeBob SquarePants. Nickelodeon Day begins at 11 a.m. with a game against the Marlins at 1:10. Get tickets today at Padres.com or at the box office. Wrapping it up next, a little head-to-head, Kurt Bevacqua and Blooper, Padres Social Hour on a Friday night. We'll be right back.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Social Hour presented by United, and you got the long ball bombers out there. Kurt, you mentioned last year, and I remember this. These guys absolutely crushed the ball. One, this one's coming right at us. Listen for the thud. Oh, no, way over our head.
Wow, look at that.
Way over our head. I mean, that's amazing. That is amazing.
Can you get can you watch those guys, Blooper? Can you get a close-up of those guys swinging? It's amazing the bat speed that they generate with those
softball bats. The long-haul bombers. Okay, the long-haul bombers out there doing their long-haul bombing. We got to get to our head-to-head matchup, though. It is the couch against Blooper, and today the couch, Kurt Bevacqua, has the first pick in our Supercuts head-to-head.
So you don't want to tell me who you're going to take.
Blooper has been very coy about his hopeful selection.
I tell you what, I'm going to surprise you.
Can't wait.
I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to take Wallace.
Brett Wallace, wow. Just completely.
I picked him a few weeks ago.
A stunner out of left field, which is appropriate because we are out in left field. Brett Wallace is Kurt's selection. So, Blooper, you got everyone else.
You know what? I didn't know who I was going to pick, and now because he's going with a wild card, I'm going with Amarista.
All right, had the good numbers against Dan Heron. He's going to lead off and play second base. Alexi Amarista and Matt.
So we left Kemp back
Matt
there.
Kemp
we
sit left there. Kessler Justin Upton
out there,
is back.
Justin Upton.
All right, guys.
Are we two idiots?
Well, you know what? It's you know, with baseball, anything can happen. And usually does. So I'll reserve judgment until I see what happens. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. We're out of here. Pre-game show next for Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Padres Social Hour.